And so Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Come down to verse 47. For the first man is of the earth, earthly. That would be Adam back here. God made man, made a body, made man out of the dust of the earth. He formed the body. He made the body. And the Bible said that he breathed into the man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. In other words, his soul, his body, and all were joined, connected, and everything. And everybody, in fact, turn back to Genesis. In Genesis, now you hear people say, well, we're all made in the image of God. You heard that? Well, that's not scriptural. In Genesis chapter 5, notice in Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says, this is the book of the generation, verse 1, of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. So Adam, the first Adam, was made in the likeness and the image of God. And so look down, male and female created he them. And he blessed them. And called their name, notice there, both of them, their name what? Ladies, now I don't mean this to disrespect you. That's why you have your last name comes from a. That's right. People say, "Well, we get married. I don't want my last name to be his last name. I'm gonna keep your. You don't have a last name. You're Adam." I just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyway, that you, it's not that you're no, God, well anyway, let's go on. He called their name, both of them, named Adam, in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own what? Likeness. After his image, and he called his name Seth. Now folks, from then on, everybody was born in the image of Adam, and after Adam's likeness. You see, when Adam fell, he lost something in that garden. He lost the glory of God. He lost that spiritual image that he was before he disobeyed God. And the only way that you can have that image is to be created. Over here in Christ, back here you were born in Adam, after Adam's image, after Adam's likeness. And whatever sin Adam had, it was passed down on to you. And whatever nature he had, his likeness, his whatever image, it was passed to you, and you were born in Adam. But in Christ, you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. If therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Turn to Ephesians and look in the book of Ephesians. And notice in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you have in Christ, you are created. You're born in Adam, but you get created in Christ. You are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And that new creature, that new man that you are, it's a spiritual man. While we're there, turn to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, that's back here, O Adam, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So in Christ, God creates a new man. That new man is what Adam was before he sinned, and in Christ, the second Adam. Look back with me. Turn. I should have told you to hang on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice in verse, verse 47, let's see, 46. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, that'd be the flesh, the natural body, Adam, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Now watch it. And as we have borne, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. But the point is, that new image is inside. It's the new man there waiting to be glorified, if you please, in that new body that will come at the resurrection or the rapture of the church. Now, the only way to get out of Adam and to get into Christ is by the cross. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, look with me, turn back to chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice what he says in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now in Romans chapter 6, notice what he says. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Folks, when that baptism identifies you, and that's all baptism is. It's identification. When you trust Christ and what He did on the cross, God identifies you. He baptizes you into Christ. He identifies you into Christ. You are in Him. And know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? He ain't baptized in water or into water. Water can't put you into anything. It's a spiritual baptism. And it's being baptized into Christ by identification. And it's being, notice verse 3 again, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Well, where did He die? He died at the cross. In other words, God identifies you as dying on that cross when His Son died on that cross. You were identified with Him on that cross as though you died. And verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with Him. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Not your death, His death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, us and Christ, in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, back here, Adam, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. What we got from Adam, all the fruits of our old sin nature that it produces, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now folks, the thing goes on. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to see is that's your standard. It'll never, you're placed into Christ. You emerged into Christ, into His death, into His burial, into His resurrection. You are in Christ, and your actions didn't put you there, and your actions can't take you out of Him. Now, that's knowing something. Now, I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and that victory there, the victory is verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It has to do with resurrection. It has to do with not never dying. And I've said that over and over and over again. If you trust Christ as your Savior, your loved ones that's gone on that have trusted Christ as their Savior, they did not experience death. The Bible says there, in verse there, He said, 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? They neither experienced the sting of death, nor they experience the power of the grave. You say, well, we went out to... You did not take them out to the graveyard. They were never in that body that you planted in the earth. If they are in Christ, they're gone and they're in the presence of the Lord. They're not just floating around and laying into the dirt. They're with the Lord. No doubt about it. And so there is victory. And He says there, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He experienced the death. He suffered the sting of death for you. He died in your place. He was buried, and He arose the third day, having victoriously. He came out of that grave, victory over death, hell, and sin, and on and on, and you're in Him. And God saw you. Now look with me. Therefore, knowing what you know, that your standing will never change, that you're in Christ, and He speaks well of you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And I would to God that people would get a grip on the fact of what He did for them on the cross. Because that's what the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is, what is the power to establish people and cause them to be unmovable and unshakable in the religious world that we live in. It's knowing something. It's no having a knowledge about something that I can walk in this evil world and anticipate the day that the Lord will come and I'll change His vile body, and as the bird let out of a cage, a new man will be clothed with that body that's from heaven. Amen. I look forward to that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm not worried about going through the wrath of God. Why? God Almighty poured His wrath out on His Son in AD 33, and He bore that wrath for my sin. Do you realize He said in the garden, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You ought to run the references of that cup. You'll find it in Jeremiah. You'll find it in the book of Psalms. You'll find it in the book of Revelation. It's the cup of the wrath, of the fierceness, wrath of Almighty God. And when Jesus Christ laid in that garden, He was going to have to drink the mixture of the wrath of God upon Him. He was going to have to experience something that He never had experienced before. He was going to have to have His Father turn His back on Him and drink of that wrath. And He's doing that for you. And you tell me God Almighty will let people go to heaven some other way than going by the cross? Why, no way, man. It's either by the cross or it's none other way. There's not many roads going to the same place. There's only one way. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the door. And folks, the only way to get saved today is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, nobody don't want to hear this gospel. That's good news to me. But look what He said. And that's what established you. But He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now I want to talk to you not about your standing, but I want to talk to you about your work. You see, there's a work. And everybody that's in Christ has a work to do. You got a job to do, folks. If you don't have a job to do, God wouldn't leave you here. Do you think the Lord's just leaving you here because your old flesh wants to stay or hang around? He could care less about your old flesh. It's dead to Him. Now let me think. Put your caps on and think with me. Everybody that's saved in this building today, you got saved because you heard somebody preach the gospel to you. Somebody come by and told you about Jesus Christ. Somebody told you about Him dying for you on the cross. Well, what if nobody ever told you about it? Nobody gets saved. What is the work of the Lord? Well, let's look at some. There are two aspects to the work of the Lord. Number one, it has to do with the gospel. What is that gospel? What is the work of that thing? Well, turn over with me and hang, just turn a page down the current as we're coming by. But turn with me to Ephesians. Paul's the example. We're to follow him. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he's requesting prayer. Look what he says in verse 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for how many saints? All saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Number one, we're to pray that the gospel is got out. Amen? I mean, there ought not be a day go by that you don't pray, Lord, help the gospel, help somebody see the gospel, help the teachers, help the preachers. Do you pray for each other to get the gospel out? Why? That's what gets people saved. Paul's not just writing down telling these people to pray that the gospel might be given out. He said, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto, and prayer and perseverance for all saints. I mean, folks, why? And for me, that utterance may be, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you realize the gospel's a mystery? Still remains a mystery to a lot of people. Well, folks, people don't know. What is it? It's Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and was buried, and God raised Him the third day according to the Scriptures. But folks, and believe that and you can have eternal life. But religion adds to it. And when they add to it and they say you got to believe that and else, or there's more to it than that, folks, that takes access. It's a mystery. Look what he said. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We're talking about the work. Colossians chapter 4. Look in verse to the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Well, folks, if I want to put the word up here, if I want to put it up here like my work, what is your work to do? You're to pray. You know, that's a work. So what am I to pray for? That a mole be removed off the same man, or a girl, or all this stuff? What am I to pray for? Let's look at what he tells the Colossians. We don't know what he told the Ephesians to pray for. He tells the Colossians, continuing prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bond. You know what we're to pray? Our number one thought ought to be pray is to get the gospel out. Pray that the gospel gets out. You know what you ought to pray for at this church? God, help Charity Bible Church to get the gospel out. Our number one goal at this church as a ministry and as a work for the Lord is to get the gospel out to as many people as we possibly can get out. Why? It's the power of God and the salvation. That's why God Almighty established this place. That's why we're here. That's what's going to keep us here as long as we stay focused on the work of the Lord. And that work is to get the gospel out to as many people as we can, to see people say, God Almighty will bless this ministry. But if we start putting emphasis on the flesh and high pleasure and doing other things and growing and all of this, trying to get people in just so we can have a big church, brother, we'll fall flat on our face. I do not want to stand before the Lord and have the Lord to look at me and say, your motives was not to get people saved. Your motives was not to get the work out. Your motive was not to glorify my Son or my Word that I magnified above my name. Folks, that's the work of the Lord. And we got to stay focused. Why? While churches today are in competition one with another. Don't you know that? Man, they're saying who got the most. I picked up a little old bulletin come from a church. You know what they were glorying in? How many baptisms they had this week. So many baptisms of this month. Ain't that something? I'd whole lot rather glory in how many people trusted Christ. Paul said, if I glory, I'm going to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, we're to pray. Number two, what are we to pray for? That the gospel be got out. We're to pray that people will be saved. That's a work. Do you talk to the Lord? Look over with me. Notice that mystery. We're to pray that the mystery. But before we get into that, notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. Look what he says in verse 16. Rejoice, chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17. Now y'all need to memorize that. And I know it's a hard verse to memorize. But try to memorize that. Pray without ceasing. No, I'm just kidding you about that. It's easy. That's like verse in John 6:35, Jesus wept. I used to be, I was a little boy, I always said, yeah, I know some Bible verses, that was it. It's easy. Pray without ceasing. So how to be in the spirit of prayer? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be thankful. You know that's a work. Being thankful. He also says be instant in prayer. In other words, right on the spur of the moment, pray. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what he said, 16. Now I realize Romans 8 says we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. In other words, we don't know what's good for us. We might be praying for something down here today that might hurt us 6 months from now and God sees down the road. And so we don't know how to pray. So what do we pray? We pray and leave it with the Lord. We let our requests be made known unto God, and we do it with thanksgiving, saying, Lord, thank you, and whatever you, it's in your hands, you'll do what's best. And He will. Look in 1 Corinthians, another work. Now the first work, we're to pray, and we're to pray to get the gospel out. And by the way, turn before we read in 1 Corinthians, look in Galatians. In Galatians. I meant to read this a while ago. Now folks, I was going to read, there's no need me reading these things. My work depends upon my knowledge. If I don't know what the mystery is, if I don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, then how do I know that I'm uttering the mystery of Christ or the mystery of the gospel? How do I know if I'm telling people the right thing to tell them? I've got to rightly divide the Word of God. I have to have that knowledge. And if people sit in church and they never learn, they never grow, they don't know what's right while they're telling anybody right. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says there in verse 4, but let every man. Well, I tell you what, go back to verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's sort of like where one member suffers, all the members suffers. You bear in one another's burdens. You pray one for another. He said, for if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, I don't need the approval of man to know I'm doing the work of the Lord. I know that by the Word of God. And I can have peace about it. I have a knowledge that I get from the Word of God. I know what I'm to preach. I'm to preach the gospel. I know I'm to preach the Word of God, rightly divided. Look what he goes on. He said, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's not getting life everlasting because you're sowing. For you. You can't sow if you don't already have it. You know what? You're sowing the gospel, the seeds of the Word of God, and it's going to reap life everlasting. Not for you, but for somebody else. But if you sow to your flesh and you take the fleshly things and that's all you're going to get, you're going to have corruption. Do y'all see what he's talking about, folks? It's taking like we get the gospel out, we preach the gospel, we get it out as much as we can, and we support and we give our money and our time and our prayers to get this gospel out, and the life everlasting of other people is what we're going to reap, and it's going to be a joy. Look what he says there in verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing. It's two different things. In verse 8 he said, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." Somebody else will have life everlasting. Somebody else will get saved and have eternal life through our sowing. And, verse 9, and something different. "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Then that's another work. It's not only we going to get the gospel out to reap life everlasting, we're going to have the harvest of souls, we're going to see people get saved, and we're to do good. Do good works. Look what he said, "Let us do good unto all men." Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, and that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." That word there, addicted, is giving themselves over to. It's to give oneself up to a habitual habit. It's a habit. Addiction. What was their addiction? They gave themselves to the ministry of the saints. Turn with me to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice in verse 3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That word endeavor, it's working, it's striving, it's doing, it's endeavoring to do something. What is it? To keep the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit, the unity of the Spirit in Christ, it's already there. But religion and the world and the devil wants to divide it up and dust it up and build barriers between the body of Christ and isms and splits and all of that to keep the body of Christ ineffective. If the body is not in unity, they don't get the gospel out. And we're to endeavor. And he goes on, look what he says in verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." And that word perfecting, you'll find it translated in Matthew 4:21. The word mending their nets, mending, is putting it back together. Perfecting, bringing two that's been broke apart back together. That's our job. We're to perfect you. We're to bring you into that unity. And we're to get you to endeavor to keep that unity. But you know something today? You see people and they get into Christ and they see the blessings in Christ. They see the Word of God rightly divided and they're getting mended one to another. And before you know it, they've done tore out and gone back into a system and they use the excuse, "Well, we're going to bring them out." But God never told nobody to go and try to win a system. He told you to stand. Amen. Look what he said. Verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." It's the saints that do the work of the ministry. My job, Robbie's job, Alan's job, Kevin's job, these teachers in here and preachers in here, our job is to give you the equipment, give you the means, the knowledge, for you to go out and do the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? You're to get people to see the truth. Look what he said back in chapter 3. In chapter 3 he said, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. And folks, he said in verse 12, there to do the work of the ministry for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The good works is here for the body of Christ. Number one, you're to pray. And you're to pray that the gospel gets out to get people saved. And you're to do whatever you can to get that gospel out. Then you're to do good works. Your good works are is to bring others to see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, and to see what the fellowship of the mystery is, and to see them that you're one in Christ, not divided. That's your job as a saint. That's the work God has called you to do. And folks, I'm glad someday, I'm glad somebody showed me the gospel. I'm glad for that night I got saved. But I'm as equal glad that there was a man that stood in Chattanooga some 30 years ago, Brother Moore, and preached to me the Word of God rightly divided, where I could see this book, and that book opened up to me, and it fits together like a glove, and I've been trying to get others to do it for 30 some years. Why? It's the truth. And watch, I want to do good work. How about you? Or to some of you, it don't matter. You care less. That ought to be your heart's desire. You know what? If you ever win somebody to Christ and see them get saved, boy, what a great blessing it is. June was the first one I led to Christ after I got saved. And I didn't do nothing but tell her to trust Christ. But it was a thrill. Man, I was ready to go. I wanted everybody to know what Christ done. I wanted people to know I was saved. I wanted them to know how easy it was to get saved. But you know something? It was just as equally blessing to me to see people that was saved when they see the light bulb come on and they say, man, I've never seen that before. Will you teach us some more? That's a work. That's your job. And if you're not doing that job, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, don't expect to get paid. But you'll suffer loss. Would you stand by your heads? If there's one here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you know it. You don't need me to tell you, you know it. And you might be here and you say, well, I've never been saved. I know that. Well, let me just tell you right now, God will do it right where you stand. All you have to do is trust what He did for you on the cross. If you want to have a desire to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to talk to you that are saved. How about you? Do you want to help others in the body of Christ? Will you today say, Lord, let me be like Stephanas. Let me be like them that addicted themselves, that it became a habit to them, of helping others that are saved see the truth. Will you make your mind up today that I'm going to do that? Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this opportunity. I pray that you'll use the message. I pray that you'll encourage the hearts. I pray that they'll make up their minds that they want to know more and they want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus so they can be able to help other members of the body of Christ. Oh Lord God, there's so many out there that's in, Lord, the systems, and they're in there and they're saved, but Lord, they're not growing. They're going to end up at the judgment seat of Christ with a handful of ashes. Help us to reach them. Help us to get the gospel out. Help us to do a work for you that will honor your Son. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do. For Christ's sake, amen. Shake hands with one another and you can go.